It's great to be able to have our youth worship band leading us in worship. Some of current students, current seniors you saw up there, some honorary members who have graduated a few years ago, and then some leaders there, Pastor Stephen and Jen, who work with our worship band and being able to lead worship. It's kind of like youth group here, right? Because you get the youth pastor is the preacher today, and so we're all going to have youth group. Maybe there'll be pizza in the hall afterwards. Hopefully I did my youth pastor math right and multiplied by 2.5 pieces per adult. Really, there's no pizza. I'm just kidding. As we get started this morning, we've been in a new series here called Blueprints for a Christ-Centered Church, and we've been looking at the book of 1 Timothy. And so we're going to be looking there. If you want to open up your Bibles or click over there if you're using a device, we're going to get to that in a minute. But what I want you to do is I want to ask two questions for you to be thinking about. First one is this: when you think of the different role models you've had in your life, what names come to mind? Who are those people that come to mind for that? Or maybe in another way, if I were to ask you who has been the biggest influence in your life, what are the names that come to mind for you? Because as we've been looking at this book in 1 Timothy, Paul is investing into a young man named Timothy that he met on one of his missionary journeys. And as we think about, and even I do, about different people who have had an influence or was a role model to me, it might be parents, it might be grandparents, or it might be aunts and uncles. It might be those friends of your parents. As I was growing up, I remember, especially during the summer nights, we would sit out on the porch. You guys ever have one of those porches? And people would walk by, and we would hang out with our neighbors. And there were different adults in my life at that time. When I was in middle school and going into high school, that's when I got a little bit more involved in church. And there were different youth leaders. A few weeks ago when I preached here, I talked about my youth leader, Steve Wozniak, the Woz, I called him. And he invested into me. My youth pastor invested into me. Maybe it's someone like that. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's a coach. Someone who had invested in your life. Or maybe when we think about who has influenced us, it might be some different leaders or celebrities that we see on the TV or at the ball game. And those people have had an influence and changed the way of who we are. Well, this, I don't know if you know this, but I'm kind of a sports fan. I love sports. And so there's always been this debate going around of who is the GOAT, right? Who is the greatest of all time? And so a couple weeks ago at youth group, we played this game called the GOAT, and we had pictures of different people, two pictures of one person or the other, and who is the GOAT. And whoever you thought was the GOAT, we had them go from one side of the room to the other. Now, wouldn't it be cool if we did that here? Get people standing up and walking to one side of the room or the other, or it would be complete chaos, right? But I did pick some pictures out here to share with us. And we're going to not have you guys stand up and go from one side of the room to the other, but I'm going to have them show a picture, and I'm going to tell you, if you believe this person is the greatest of all time, between the two that are shown, I'll have you stand up right where you're at. So it's kind of to get active participation. I probably should have left this for the middle of my message, to see if you guys were still awake at that time. Just kidding. So here's the first one. We're going to talk about presidents. I have five of them here. So the presidents, U.S. president, Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. Between those two, who do you think was the greatest of all time? If you think it was Abraham Lincoln, I want you to stand up right where you're at. All right, that's good. Honest Abe, right? Hey, and he comes from Illinois. That's where I'm from. All right, next one is for boxers. Muhammad Ali and Joe Lewis. Now, this is kind of an interesting one because there might be some people in this room are like, who are they? Right? So you don't have to vote on this, but if you think Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, between those two, I want you to stand up. Wow, a few of you. Now, Muhammad Ali, he had the claim that I am the greatest, right? But what happened when he fought Joe Lewis? Uh-oh, yeah. So that one might... All right, so we're going to go to a couple of sports here. Football here. Joe Montana or Tom Brady? Now, this is one is probably going to divide parents and kids because some kids are going to be like, who's Joe Montana? But if you think Joe Montana was the greatest of all time, I want you to stand up. Are there a lot of Patriot fans here or something? All right. Joe Montana. All right. Next one is in baseball. We have Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron. Again, some of our younger generation are probably like, who are they? But if you think Babe Ruth was the greatest of all time in baseball, between these two, I want you to stand up. Wow, just a few. How can you go against the great Bambino, right? All right, last one. My favorite sport, basketball. If you think that Michael Jordan was the greatest of all time, I would like you to stand up. All right, those of you that are standing, wait, stay standing. Isn't it interesting to see all the people sitting down that are so wrong? You guys can sit down. Michael Jordan is the GOAT, period. Now, I did grow up in Chicago. I did grow up during the time that he played. And right now, in the media, there's been so much debate of this, too much debate on this, and people posting, and who's the greatest of all time. What LeBron is doing is incredible. And but Michael Jordan, in my opinion, and because it grew up in my era, is the GOAT to me. There's no one better. He changed the way people played the game of basketball. When Michael Jordan came out, all of a sudden, all the different people who were playing basketball started to wear this wristband on their forearm. Why? Because that's what Michael Jordan did. Michael Jordan continues to, he has his Air Jordans, right? His shoes. And different players have shoes, and people start to emulate who Michael Jordan is. When Michael Jordan played, whenever he would go up for a layup or a dunk, he had his tongue wagging out, right? What did high school and other players start doing when they went up for layups? They started putting their tongue out because that's what Michael Jordan did. So he changed the way people played the game. He had an influence. People started to imitate him. And so I want just this idea of the imitation and how people influence us. Now, another player during that same era who said he wasn't a role model is a guy named Charles Barkley. I have a picture of this here. Charles Barkley said this, "I am not a role model. I'm not paid to be a role model. I'm paid to wreak havoc on the basketball court. Parents should be role models. Just because I dunk a basketball doesn't mean I should raise your kids." And then you have on the other side, advertisements, "Be like Mike." Now on the basketball court, many people try and have tried to be like Mike, to emulate him. He was a good example of how to be successful on the basketball court. But I'm not saying that he was a good example for us to follow in all other areas of life. This morning, we're going to be looking at a passage, and we've been looking at this book as, of Paul, who was a spiritual mentor to a guy named Timothy. And what he invests into Timothy is a lot more valuable than what we see in the different role models that we have. Did Paul have his faults? Yes, he did. But he was investing into him. So we, over the last 3 weeks, we've been going through the book of 1 Timothy in this series. We've learned about this relationship that Paul had with Timothy. He met him in a town named Lystra at a very young age. He started bringing him on different missionary journeys with him, investing time into him. Paul was a spiritual mentor. It was, as we read about Timothy's upbringing, he had a mother who was a believer, a grandmother who was a believer, but his we don't hear anything about his dad, just that he did have a father. And Paul was then his spiritual father mentor figure that he had. The book of 1 Timothy places him in a church in Ephesus, and Ephesus where Timothy was dealing with false teachings and other issues, and he was the leader of that church. Paul was writing this letter to him in how to approach ministry and life. And so this morning, as we've been going through this book, we've been in the first couple chapters, or actually chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. We're going to jump ahead to chapter 4 today. Why, you ask? Is because there is a verse in chapter 4 that talks about youth. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, don't let anyone despise you because of your youth or look down on you for your youth. And so what better week to have someone talk about that is when we honor our graduates and when the youth pastor gets to preach, right? Because we're talking about youth. And Pastor Blair said, I'm going to give this one to you because I know that many times when I talk about kind of those cliche passages that are used at graduate Sundays and things like that, this verse is used many times because it's talking about youth. But when we really look into it, Timothy wasn't that young. He wasn't as young as the kids that we had on the stage here. It's actually kind of comforting to me because from what I read and research into this, he's probably in his late 30s to 40s when this was written. So you know what that makes? That makes me young, right? So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6 to 16. And so you can follow along in your own copy, or you can look on the screen, and I'm going to read it to us. Here it starts in verse 6, Paul talking here. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed, but have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. For the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things. Be committed to them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this passage. I thank you for the example of Paul and Timothy and the investment that Paul put into Timothy. Lord, I pray that as we dive into this passage that there would be something that you would be speaking to our hearts about, of how we could put it into practice into our own life. Pray this in your name. Amen. Well, this morning I'm going to, at the beginning here, kind of give like an overview or a big picture of this passage, but then we're going to hone in on the verse of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, of what does it mean to pursue godliness that Paul puts there. But as we look at this, the entire passage here, what we find is Paul is giving Timothy, his mentee, some do's and don'ts about ministry. Some of the don'ts that he gives to Timothy is this: don't waste your time arguing over foolish ideas and silly myths. In verse 7, so there was some stuff going on in the town of Ephesus, and we heard about this a few weeks ago about false teachers. And so he said, don't waste your time dealing with that. Don't argue over that. Another one is, don't be intimidated because of your youth, because of your young age. Don't be intimidated by that. He actually gives him some encouragement. He talks about, remember the laying on of hands by the elders, the gift that you have. Just because you're young doesn't mean that you can't be used by others. Think about that for us. Are there ways that young people can have an influence in us? Are there different ways that we see gifts and abilities in the youth, in our kids' ministry, where God is developing them and using them? And so Paul was reminding Timothy of that. Don't be intimidated by that. Don't neglect your spiritual gift. God has given each one of us a spiritual gift, and so we can't neglect that. We need to use that. So those are some of the don'ts that he talks about in this passage. Some of the do's. First one is this. He said, warn the church members concerning false teachings. And as you look at the whole book of 1 Timothy, there are many different places and warnings about the false teaching that was happening in that city at that time. And so he needed to warn his church members to make sure that they're teaching sound doctrine and sound teachings to each one of them. And so to call out those that aren't. In verses 7 through 11, he talks about keeping spiritually fit. It is important for us to keep spiritually fit. The physical fitness is great. We need to do that as well. But are we spending time in God's Word? Are we spending time in prayer to put our spiritual life above even our own physical life to keep spiritually fit? Verse 12 that we're going to get into here in a few minutes is to be a godly role model in all that you do. And so we have influence on people around us. In this room, there are different people that live in different neighborhoods, that work at different places, that have a sphere of influence. And so the call for Timothy at that point was to be a godly role model. The call for us, as we're going to talk about today, is how do we be a godly role model wherever we are at? It doesn't just have to be the church leaders. In verse 13, he talks about, do this, continue to publicly read, teach, and preach the Word of God. So wherever we go, we need to continue to teach, we need to read, we need to get our Bibles out, and when we're dealing with different issues in our life, we need to research the Word of God and where the answers are for those issues. And that happens when we continue to publicly read and teach from that. I'm thankful that we're in a church that places a high value in the authority of Scripture to our life, and so that you can come here and hear preaching that comes from the Bible, Bible studies that come from the Bible, family groups, and so forth. He also says, do this, give yourself wholly to the ministry. Invest in other people. A few weeks ago, Pastor Blair put out the challenge of those that might want to be mentored by someone else, or those that could mentor someone else. That we need to invest into people, to give ourselves to the ministry, and to see people come to know Christ as their Savior. And then the last one is this. He says, do this, keep close check on your own life. Don't be so involved in ministry to others that you're not taking care of yourself. And this even goes back to the spiritual fitness. And so that's kind of the big picture of what is happening in this section of Scripture. And we're going to focus in on verse 12 with the remainder of time together. And if I were to boil this message into one sentence in your bulletin outline, I put it at the top. As Christ followers, we are to pursue living a godly life as an example for those around us. Paul uses this picture of an example to other people, an example to those around him. So how do we pursue godliness? Well, it comes down to five words that follow that in verse 12. There are five different areas, five keys to pursuing living a godly life. And Timothy is being instructed by Paul, his spiritual mentor, put your emphasis on these things. And so I want to walk us through those. First one is this, is that in speech, Paul's first encouragement to Timothy is to be an example, is to watch his speech, because our words matter, whether spoken or written. Our words matter to people. Our speech should always be honest and loving. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 talks about that we need to speak the truth in love towards one another. Other places in Scripture, as I did a word search on this idea of speech, that words matter. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Again, later in 1 Timothy in chapter 6, he says this, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent and empty speech and contradictions from what is falsely called knowledge. That our words matter. We need to be careful about how we use our words, whether it's spoken or whether it is written. 1 Peter talks about this as well. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So our words reflect us. And we can see this, can't we? I don't know if you've paid attention to the news this last week, but someone got in trouble by some words that were put out on Twitter. Roseanne Barr, earlier this week, had some tweets, if you guys know what that means, where she said some racist things. And it was swiftly that ABC canceled her show and pulled her other shows from different networks or streaming places. Her words matter. And in a culture where if I get offended, I'll just one-up someone else and get them back. This thing of even Stevens, no, that's not how we're supposed to act. I remember this as a kid growing up, because this was one of the hardest things for me as a new believer, because I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And the home that I grew up in especially at Christmas time or at different family gatherings, between my dad and his brother and my brother and others, it was, who can come back with the best one-liner? And it was always not one-liners that built people up. It was more that tore one another down. And so when we hear statistics like it takes 7 positive comments to take away 1 negative comment, there's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? We live in a culture that it doesn't matter what we say. It's just words. But it still cuts to the heart. It still hurts us. And so Timothy's first instruction from Paul is, be careful with your speech. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul talks about this. He says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So our words matter. Second one is this, is conduct. In conduct, how we live our lives in front of others matters as well. Conduct talks about our daily behavior. And so it's not as much what we say out of our mouth, but our walk has to back up our talk. So what we say, if we say that we're a follower of Christ, there should be some things in our walk that back that up. Can't just be the things that we say here on a Sunday. Titus was dealing with this, and Paul wrote to him about this whole thing of conduct. In Titus chapter 1, verse 16, talking about others that he was dealing with, it says, they profess to know God, but their deeds they deny him, because they are detestable and disobedient and unfit for every good deed. Well, that's a warning, isn't it? They say with their mouth, yes, I'm a follower of Christ, but their actions don't show that. Think about in Galatians, where we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those are the things that are to be evident in the Christ follower as they continue to follow him. And so we start seeing a transformed life. Many times we think that being a Christian is about information, a transfer of information. But really what being a follower of Christ is about, transformation. There's a difference in that, transformation. We see our life different. I think about the great theologian, Allen Iverson. Oh wait, he's not a theologian. He's a basketball player. But back in the day, he was interviewed about his practice and why he wasn't going to practice. And, you know, he was all about the games. And when the interviewer asked him about practice, he's like, are we talking about practice? Yeah, we are, because we need to practice these things. Not just for when we're here on a Sunday or around our church friends. We need to have our conduct be different to those around us, that the way that we live our lives matters. And so Paul's instruction to Timothy, it matters in how we conduct ourselves, and not just around our church friends, our church people, but when we go back out of this community, when we go to our workplace, when we go to our neighborhoods, when we go to our schools and to our extended family, our conduct needs to be addressed. What we do with our private lives, what we invest our time into, our conduct. How about this? What we allow ourselves to take in with media. Are we going to movies, watching shows, listening to music that glorifies God? Or how about this question? Does our life reflect that a relationship with Jesus is number one in our lives. If Jesus and our relationship with God is important, the things that we start talking about and the ways that we walk should change. Not instantaneously, it's a process, but it should change. And so Paul's encouragement to Timothy was in his conduct. Next one is this, in love. How we demonstrate brotherly love towards others matters. Paul uses this word that talks about a distinctive Christian love which seeks to give rather than to receive, which puts others' interests before our own interests, which shows kindness to other people. Timothy was in a city, in a town of Ephesus, where false teaching was happening. Do you think that people in town were talking well of Timothy? I'm guessing not. And so what Paul is saying is, hey, Timothy, when someone says something bad about you or talks behind your back, go and get them better. One-up them, right? No, that's not what it says. What he's saying is, show love. Show love towards them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love, and it says this, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I become a ringing brass gong or a clashing cymbal. So if I'm just talking about it, but I don't actually show it, I'm just a loud instrument. Our actions should show more of our love towards other people. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 talks about this as well, where Paul says this, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside, but if I'm expressing my faith in love towards others, that's what matters. And so when Paul is talking to Timothy, is show love towards others, show brotherly love, demonstrate that love towards others because it matters. The fourth one here is in faith. Demonstrating our faith in God makes a difference. Do we have a consistent confession of the gospel and profession of the gospel in our life? Do people say, hey, there's something different about that person? It's their faith in God. Are we a model of faith to those around us? I think of our culture that wants to put faith on the back burner and it's not important and wants to influence us in other ways that pull us away from our relationship with God. Do we think that this is the first time that that has ever happened? I think of some of my favorite Old Testament Bible characters, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, after Nebuchadnezzar brings them in and wants them to bow down to this idol that he set up, talk about a picture of people who had faith. It says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to give you one more chance to do this. They said this, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Of the different gold statues that are up, are we ready to not bow down to those? Are we ready to take a stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Paul's encouragement to Timothy was in faith, demonstrating your faith makes a difference to those around us. Last one is this, it's impurity. And impurity talks about integrity in our relationships with others. We live in an evil world. The culture is around us, pulling us away from God. There's different influences that are out there. You know what? It wasn't any different than what Timothy had to deal with in Ephesus. Ephesus, we hear, was the center of sexual impurity. And young man Timothy was facing that on a daily basis, just like we do here today. And his encouragement was to have pure relationships, to keep himself pure in mind and heart and body. He needs to be like Joseph. When Joseph was tempted with Potiphar's wife, that he ran from that. Like Daniel, when those in authority propose you compromise your faith, Daniel said, no, that's not going to happen for me. I'm not going to compromise. We need to be counter-cultural in the world that we live in. I think of the passage in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. The writer says this, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And so how do we combat that? We go to Scripture. In Psalm 119, it talks about, I've hidden my word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And so as we look at these five keys that Paul talks about to Timothy, to young Timothy, don't let anyone despise you of your youth. If you put these things into practice, Timothy, those that are older than you and those that are younger than you, you're going to have an influence. Because if you look at verses 13 through 16, it talks about that, about continuing to read the Scriptures and to teach others. And in verse 16, it talks about keeping a close eye on how Timothy is living. It's an encouragement to us that we need to keep a close eye on ourselves, because what's at stake is opportunities to be able to share the gospel with people in our sphere of influence. So we think about the different people that we work with, or the different people in our family, or the different people we meet at the coffee shops, or soon Chick-fil-A, right? Restaurants, wherever it might be. We have opportunities to share the gospel, and that's what verse 16 talks about, for your own salvation, but also for those hearers around you. And this is encouragement for Timothy, is not just for those in a vocational ministry, because he was a pastor of a church there. It is for any Christ follower. That is the call that we have on our life, to go and spread the gospel, no matter if we're doing it for our living or if we have other jobs. That's the call. So my challenge is, which one of those five maybe sticks out to you, of an area where, hey, I need to shore this up a little bit. Maybe, you know, the words that I've been using or the way that I've been treating others, you know, is there something that the Holy Spirit is talking to you about and saying, hey, let's look at this passage, or let's look at this verse and encourage you to make some changes. Maybe for some of us in this room, everything is going well. You know, these things are evident in your life, and I just want to re-emphasize the challenge that Pastor Blair put out a few weeks ago. Maybe that's a clue or a nudging. Hey, can you mentor someone? Can you get across a table and talk to someone about this? If that's something, you can talk to one of us on staff here, and we'd love to get you connected with a young person, or maybe not so young person, that needs a mentor. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for the example of Paul and Timothy, and the role model and the influence that he had, and being able to help Timothy as he's leading that church in Ephesus. And we're here to this day because of people like that. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be speaking to our hearts. What there might be something that we need to get back in the right priority with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would Help us to do that. Pray this in your name. Amen.